Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Revelation, the 13th chapter. Now, we are over in the book of Revelation far enough that we're having studies more about the tribulation than we are anything else. And during this tribulation time, we have a chart, but we don't have it up, so we can't see it. But during the tribulation, at the first part of that 7 years, Antichrist will make, and nobody will know he's Antichrist. He's going to be a person that will have some knowledge and ability, and he is going to make a covenant with Israel for 7 years for their safety. You know, just I believe it was last week, Putin and the Ayatollah from Iran and the leader from Erdogan or from Turkey came down. They all met together over in Syria. And, you know, that corresponds to the teaching in the Old Testament about Russia, and it includes those other two guys from Turkey and Iran coming, as well as some others that didn't go. But they all went over to Syria to discuss the problem. And in the end time, they're going to attack Israel. And that may be why that the Antichrist, which he won't be known as the Antichrist, he will be a very, very wonderful man to the outward appearance that can speak so well and just bring out anything and explain to people. And he's going to make an agreement with Israel that he will protect them for 7 years. He'll be a man of power. And so here in this 13th chapter, he is called the Beast. And as I was studying this, I thought, do we have any reference other places where he is called the Antichrist? Because we say Antichrist. And there is that scripture. Here's one of them. I'm just going to read them to you. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. Antichrist means against Christ, see? And so this man that's going to come up is called the Beast, and but he is also what is known as the Antichrist in the scripture. He's a false Christ. He's going to have people follow him and do his bidding just like he was the Lord Jesus. They're just going to be so deceived by him. But no believer will be deceived by the Antichrist. And according to the scripture text, many, many believers will be beheaded. They're going to have guillotines again. And many of them will be beheaded for Christ because they will not take the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is going to be, we don't have it in this chapter, but it's going to be marked in the forehead or the hand. And where else? Can you remember? Anyway, there'll be different ways that they can wear the mark of the beast. And they won't be able to buy or sell during that tribulation time unless they have that mark. When they go into the grocery store, they'll have to have that mark or they won't be able to buy food. See, it's going to be tribulation. Tribulation means a bad time. We think we have some tribulation right now because food prices are high and gasoline is high and other things are high. Not anything compared to what it's going to be during those 7 years of tribulation. And Jesus Christ is going to come before that tribulation starts and take away those that are watching and waiting for him. And then later, in the time, he's going to take away another group, the great innumerable company, which we see in chapter 7 that is there in heaven. Now, in chapter 14, we haven't got there yet. The 144,000 of Israel are going to be taken to heaven. So the ones that are left on this earth, there will be many of them that suffer. And last week, we talked about these believers that flee in verse 13 of the previous chapter. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. That's 144,000. So this is a group of Israelites, and it says that they were given two wings of a great eagle that they might fly into the wilderness to a place where she'll be nourished a time and a time and a half times. That's 3.5 years that they'll be kept. And so we see how precious that the Lord will guard his people. Now, there's going to be a lot of martyrs. The scripture says that. But we won't be here at that time. We won't be here at that time. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm glad. I'm very glad. So we're going to begin reading there in verse 1 of chapter 13. And let's ask the Lord's blessing on the word. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, God, that is so precious and wonderful to us. And we're believing you today that you will enlighten us and just give us understanding as we follow this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, we see in this chapter two different persons. One is called the beast in chapter 1. And then on down in the verse 11, it says, I beheld, and another beast came out of the earth. Okay, so what does it say here in verse 1? Upon the sand of the sea, I stood upon the sand of the sea. John is caught away in the spirit, and he's standing on the sand of the sea, which speaks, the sea in the scripture and prophecy speaks of Gentiles. Okay, when it talks about the earth, it's talking about God's earthly people, the Jews, all right? And he saw a beast rise up out of the sea. So this is the Antichrist that we call him. People, you've probably heard that phrase before many times, or maybe not often, but you probably realize it's somebody that's very, very evil. This man is absolutely possessed of the devil, and he will come forward up out of the Gentile powers, out of the sea. 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, at first, it's going to be, I wanted to read, look back at the last chapter, chapter 12, verse 3, where it's talking about the devil. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. So what did the old devil do? The Bible's already prophesied it. He gave these abilities to these people on the earth. At this point in time, there are different groups of people joining together, and we find it in several places in the book of Daniel and in Revelation, where some of these leaders of countries that join together into this group of 7 horns, which speaks of power with the crowns and the 7 heads and so forth, speaks of a group of people that have become dominant. They're going to have a great and wonderful kingdom on this earth. But then as he watches this group, there in verse 1 of chapter 13, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like unto a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Now, if you haven't studied Daniel, you probably don't understand what that means, but I will tell you. In chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, Daniel was a prophet of God, and God gave him an understanding of the Gentile powers that were going to take over. Remember that Babylon came down and took over all of Israel, took the people out of their country, and tore down the temple and just all that destruction. And they brought the Israelites over there to the country of Babylon, and which I believe is now Iran. But they brought them over there and had them there. And so as it gives an illustration in chapter 7 of Daniel, this is what I'm going to say. It says the first kingdom there was like a lion. Now here in this verse, it doesn't, yes, it mentions, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. See, it's listing those characters, those different animals that represented the Gentile powers of this world. The Gentiles were Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, okay? We ruled the world, really. The Gentile people ruled the world. So this beast has, he's like a leopard, which was the emblem of another one of the characters, and his, that represented another part of the country. We know how it went. It was first Babylon, and then it was the Medes and the Persians, and then it was Alexander the Great. And who else? You look there in that chapter and it will tell you that conquered the world, different conquerors of the world. The last one is a terrible looking beast, the Roman, that represents the Roman government. And when we look here at the Antichrist, it's the Roman government revived. That's what we're looking at. Now, I know that may sound freakish or wrong or something, but it is the truth. In the end time, there will be a revival of the Roman government, and the Roman government will be ruling, and Antichrist will come up from that. All right, so we're just going to leave that there. Notice in the latter part of that verse 2, it says, the dragon gave him his power and his seat. It's not just a little seat like you're standing in. It means throne. The devil will give him his throne and great authority. Antichrist, when he makes himself manifest, as it says in the next verse, they saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and we'll get into that. That's Antichrist. He gets killed, and he raises from the dead. And boy, are they going to be looking at him. People of the world are going to think, this has to be God. This has to be God coming back in this form, you know. So they begin to worship him as if he's a god. But it's all going to take place, and it's all going to work. And he'll have great authority. The dragon gave him this. In verse 3, I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And so there's more about this as we study. We'll go on over. We'll see some in 16 in different chapters. But in this chapter, we're just kind of seeing a little harsh portion of it. And so when they see this man that comes back to life, he'll go down to hell. And then Satan will have the power to bring him back up, and he'll be resurrected. And they're going to think, he's God. He's God. He's the one we need to follow. We've got to do this. So they begin to worship the dragon. Now that's Satan, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And I could just imagine them chanting that. Can you? Who is like unto the beast? Who can make war with him? He's a great and mighty one, you know. We're going to worship him. They worship Satan and worship the beast. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things, blasphemies. And that word, of course, we know it means speaking against God, but also the meaning evil vilification. In other words, who believes in that God up there? You know, he's nothing. You know, he's not even real. You know, I'm the real leader. I'm the one that you need to follow. And people will just flock after him, just think, oh, this has got to be. Oh, listen to how he power he has. Power was given to him for 42 months. Now, right just a little bit before the middle of the tribulation, if you have your chart, you'll see that there's a line there. And that's when the Antichrist is killed, and then he comes back to life. He comes into his power just a little bit before half of the tribulation is over. And he will become the leader of the world. The world will just honor him. They will follow him. But there'll still be believers here on the earth that suffer and have to go hide out and starve and different things. But God is going to bless them. They will be earth dwellers on the earth at that time, later in that tribulation period. And they will come, many of them will see Jesus come back when he comes back. And we see him in chapter 19. They're going to see it, and they're going to be glorifying him. Praise the Lord. And so notice this 42 months, that's exactly 3.5 years. Okay, 3.5 years. The Antichrist is going to reign for 3.5 years. And do you know what will happen then? It's going to be the end, and the Lord Jesus, there'll be the battle of Armageddon, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back with his saints. Chapter 19, the latter part of the chapter, read it. He's going to come back, and he's going to take this old Antichrist and throw him into the lake of fire, as well as his helper, who is this false prophet. All right. So notice what it says in verse 6. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. And, you know, God is actually in a tabernacle at this part. This word tabernacle speaks of a dwelling place. And so his place of dwelling, his abode, where he is, God will be in heaven. But he's certainly working here on the earth during the tribulation. He's giving his people, as we read last chapter, he gives them power, many of them, to flee in the desert and go to this safe place where the enemy cannot harm them. And so God will watch over many people, but we do know that there will be many martyrs during the tribulation time, during this time of evil that this man is ruling. And so notice what it says in verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, most of us understand the word saint does not mean those that have been made saints by different organizations. That's not it. All people who believe in Jesus Christ are called saints. We are the people of God. That's what that word means. We are the ones who trust and believe in God. And we won't be here. Don't worry about that. You're not going to be here. If you're a believer in Christ, you are going to be in heaven by this time. But these poor dear people that are left here on the earth, it's going to be a terrible thing. He's going to overcome them. He's going to take many of them and kill them, as we've just said a while ago. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. There won't be little individual nations. If they don't join the group and get into this, they will be destroyed. That's the way it's going to be in the seventh year of tribulation. Many people believe the United States will just be totally obliterated, that it won't even be here, because we're not like other nations. Hate to say this, but we're getting there. We're beginning to really, really lose a lot of good things in this nation. So, in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I hope everyone here knows this. Your name is written in indelible ink in the Lord's book. There's no way it will ever get blotted out. We have Christ in our hearts. We are believers in Christ. And the good, wonderful other part of it is that you and I will not be here during this time. Won't this be wonderful? Yes, even if we don't get into that first group that go, the second group will have to go into the tribulation a little bit, and it'll be hard times, and then they'll go to heaven. But they won't be here when the Antichrist is manifest. If you don't believe me, we could go into it in deeper and show you that. But I want you to know that. Be assured the Lord has provided. So if our name is written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, see, in God's plan, the plan was that before the world was ever created, before the foundation of the world, God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit made a plan. And Jesus was going to be crucified. That was going to be. He was going to be born a little baby. He was going to grow up, and he was going to be crucified so that people could be saved and come to know him. And God the Father, be the children of the living God. What a thing. What a wonderful thing. I don't think any of us could have thought of that. He was slain from the foundation of the world in God's plan. It was already reckoned. It was going to happen. If any man have an ear, let him hear. That's the end of the verse. That'd be a good verse to memorize if you didn't want to memorize anything very long. When I went to Bible school, there were a lot of kids, they were supposed to memorize a verse each day. There were some of them got up and said, Jesus said, Jesus wept. You know, just playing a joke. But anyway, it's not what it's talking about. But anyway, if any man has an ear, let him hear. God gave us ears, but some of our ears are plugged up. In the human race, many, many human people won't listen. They won't listen to the word. They won't listen to the fact that Jesus died for their sins. And they're going to have to suffer for that one of these days, for not receiving Christ. Just think how in my lifetime, I can think of it, how much advance we have made toward communication all over the world. Communication. Christ is preached in messages all over this world right now. And New Testaments are given out all over this world. There's not going to be an excuse for anybody to say, well, I didn't ever hear. I never did know, because that would not be true. The Lord will make sure that every individual hears the message of salvation so that they can be delivered from this evil world. God will make sure. Verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So he's just saying here, this wicked man that did all this evil stuff and is going to in the future do all of these evil things, he's going to be punished for it. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And if you want to look at that, that's chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire and brimstone, never to come out. The old devil gets put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then he comes out, and he deceives people again. So again, God throws him in the lake of fire. These guys are going to get thrown in the lake of fire right off. After that 7 years is ended, they're going to be gone. Now, I don't know if I'll be able to cover the second part of this. But anyway, the second part, beginning with verse 11, let's read it. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, when we see something coming out of the earth, it speaks of the Jews, because they are an earthly people. They will have a kingdom on earth. The Jews will. And so those that believe in Christ during the tribulation, and are some of them, as we've said, going to the wilderness to be kept alive after they receive Christ. So this one is out of the earth. He's going to be a Jew. And he had two horns like a lamb. See, he's not a true lamb of God, is he? He's not a true lamb, a believer, like we are lambs of the Lord. He is a false God. He is a false person. But he's going to look like a little lamb. He's going to be so mild and so good. And he'll go around and he'll get people just to think he's wonderful, that he is the one they should hear. Yet when he speaks, it's going to be as a dragon. Because, see, the dragon, who is that? That Satan in him is going to empower him to deceive people, to point to this Antichrist and say, this is the Lord, this is the God. Verse 12, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and he caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. People think that the Antichrist may be dead 3 days and three nights like Jesus Christ, so that anybody that even knows about it, oh yeah, we read one time that Jesus, you know, was going to, he came back from the grave. So this must be the Lord. This must be the one we're to follow. So this old false prophet, he's going to really, you know, set that Antichrist up for people to worship him. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. See, the devil is empowering him, and God is allowing it. It's going to deceive people. They're going to see him make fiery things come down out of the heavens. And in verse 14, he deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give unto the image of the give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so by this time, Israel is going to have a temple built, and they will set up this image. We'll get to it in another chapter. They will set up this image of the Antichrist in that temple. And of course, any of the Jews that are trying to be Orthodox Jews and worship the Lord, and they finally got their temple back, you know, they've got it all set up, all kinds of stuff paid for it, and right now. And whenever they get that there, they will just, they'll see this big old statue of the Antichrist in there. And it's going to be power. It's going to be look like it's alive. In verse 15, he had power to give life to this image of the beast, that the image of the beast would speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We read that a moment ago. Read it again. It's going to have power. You know, it may be a mechanized something or other, you know, that we know about. Robots are very, very interesting now. I saw a few of them the other day on the TV. Very powerful, can do to all kinds of stuff. Anyway, it's going to be a horrendous time during that latter part of the tribulation. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads. They're not going to be able to buy or sell, as it says in verse 17, that no man might buy or sell, save that he had had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The number of his name is actually 666. In studying numbers in the Bible, six is a man's number, we call it. Just like three is the Trinity, six is man's number. So they will mark people that are following this Antichrist on their hand or on their head. And that way they'll be able to buy food and things like that. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or you're small or you're great or you're poor or you're free or you're bond, you're going to have to receive that or else you're not going to get food. You're not going to get the things that you need. And so God miraculously will keep many of his people alive that have come to know Jesus during that 7 years of tribulation. 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. And his number is 666. 666 is what I said. 666. 666, that is the number of the beast. Praise the Lord. And so we'll stop there. But I hope that this has helped us. There are so many other scriptures. If you wanted to read in Daniel 7, you would see there that there's talk about the Antichrist back there. And in Matthew 24:15, it says that there will be abomination of desolation. of this image, the idol standing in the holy place of the temple. And you can read that beginning with verse 15 to about verse 26 in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Praise the Lord that his word is so true and so powerful. And so many things are happening in the world today that show us that time is running out. Even in our United States, some of you are younger, most of you are younger than I am. But I tell you what, I have never in my life seen what's going on in our United States as it is today compared to back there years ago. Things are worse and worse. Things are not good in the United States and in the whole world. It shows us that there's going to come a time of change. Jesus Christ is going to come one of these days. He's going to come and take away that first company of believers that have dedicated their lives to God. That's why we beseech you by the word of God to yield your life to Christ. Walk with the Lord. Let him work in your life. Study the word of God every day. Read the word. If you don't understand, call me or somebody up and we'll explain to you whatever you don't understand. So the Lord is a faithful God and he is working, and our time is very short. It really is. He's going to come one of these days. I don't know if you're like me, but I can feel it. I feel it. Now I know I'm getting older, and one of these days I am going to go by the grave. I'm going to do that one of these days if Jesus doesn't come back. But I tell you what, it's so near that I feel he could just come at any moment. This moment, before we get out of here, that's fine, Lord. Just take us. We're ready. Just take us. That's what he wants from our life, for us to love him so much that we're just watching every day for the coming of Jesus and studying the word of God and knowing what it says. It's so important. The Bible says in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So read the word every day and think as you read. Think about the verse and say, what does this mean? Now, what is it speaking to me about? And God will do that. He will reveal the word to you. Praise the Lord.